Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it. It's a Friday. It's a Roadshow Friday here on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, is back at our ESPN 1480 and FM 101.5 studios. And wherever you're hearing us across the Hail Varsity Radio Network, we welcome you and say hello from Applebee's. We are at 40th and Old Shady in Lincoln. An amazing setup here. The bar is spectacular. It's gorgeous. It has TVs that may exceed the TV in your Husker den or living room. I can't help you with that argument you lost when it came time to freshen up the flat screen choices. I can tell you about half price apps, drink specials, and the place to be for Nebraska, Illinois. And it's a busy Friday. Can we say that? Capital B with this busy Friday. You got Husker volleyball rocking. You got some early high school football going on because, yes, Nebraska dove into the deep end of the pool with a Friday night game. Listen, move on from it. First and last time this will happen, thankfully. But you're busy tonight. So what you can do is pop on by Applebee's here, 40th and Old Cheney in Lincoln. And get yourself some car side to go. Jump on Applebee's.com and get an order up. Or better yet, come on in for half price apps. We're here till 6. Half price apps are until 6. And again, after 9, we'll tell you some of the menu options for sure to check out. Beer special is going to be great. And it's always good in the neighborhood, right? Here at Applebee's, so come on by with some friends. Can join us today, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can tap the line, Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. Also on Twitter at Hail Varsity or at Schmidt underscore radio. It's where you get a hold of me. And here is the lineup today. We'll get caught up with the Pride of Fairbury, your official on Nebraska football. Bill Dolman going to be with us in about 20 minutes. It is a game day, which means we have a bit of a preview. And why not talk to one of the captains with Nebraska football, number 67, and Gerald Foster. Our conversation with Gerald Foster, that coming up in about 30 minutes. We'll get caught up with our main man, Jay, here from Applebee's before we get to hour two. Brandon Vogel going to check in with us live from Champaign. I said Champaign, not Champaign Room. Champaign is where Vogel is at, so we'll get caught up with him at 5. Friday forecast commences with Clausburn and some thoughts as we get you ready for Nebraska, Illinois today. I like the label days, and you can label moments within a season, right? You have terms like get well or bounce back or inflict pain or whatever type of theme you want to wrap around a game. Well, Friday, today's game is aptly titled Get Out of Your Own Way Friday. Can shorten it to just Costanza. Could do that. But let's go with the longer title here. Get Out of Your Own Way Friday for Nebraska football against Illinois. And that's really what this season's been about. You've had inexperience, you've had injury, you've had uncertainty with just the defense. What's supposed to have been that security blanket? How about the offense? How about a veteran offensive line? How about guys like Stanley and DeMornay? Well, it has been rocky. You are 2-2 going to Illinois, and it's a weird joint to play in. It's a weirder day to play this game in. And you have a head coach and his staff that have been able to outwardly say and do the right things and inwardly try and be leaders. But when push comes to shove, you can wear worry and frustration and it screams out from you. And Riley, the last 7 days, 8 days, has looked like a guy that's been just through the ringer. Now it's his time for his guys to get his back tonight against a very beatable, very young, very poor offense in Illinois. So ask yourself this, not telling you to put any money down, but does Nebraska get out of their own way tonight? I say yes. You'll hear my score here in about an hour and 20 minutes. But how does Nebraska get out of their own way? Let's take a look at that and discuss it for a second. What do you pack when you travel? Toothbrush, deodorant, maybe some mouthwash, maybe the wife and kid. I don't mean, you just think about getting ready for a trip. Cruise, skiing, roadie to Denver with your crazy donkey fans that are friends. You have your checklist, right? Well, when you go on the road in Big Ten football, you pack your running game, you pack your offensive line, you pack special teams, and you pack your defense. Period. That's what was on the old checklist for Nebraska. And some of these things will have to show up pretty huge, in my opinion, for Nebraska to kind of live up to this title, Get Out of Your Own Way Friday. So with Nebraska, let's take a look here. What's a formula for success to get in and get out? Well, you saw Nebraska run the play called Zonka 31 times. I was a NFL Films nut as a kid. I wore those VHS tapes out, and I loved watching Larry Zonka. Probably, honestly, one of the reasons that I love me some Miami Dolphin football, and it was way, way, way before my time. But Larry Zonka and his busted nose, old number 39, he was fun. Well, as a tribute to Zonka, broke his nose like 30. He had more broken noses and career touchdowns, and it was huge. He had a lot of career touchdowns. Nebraska just got with it. They got dirty. They got filthy. They played some power football. And guess what? That's how you're going to beat and win tonight in Champaign. You're going to play a very young and experienced defense, more so the secondary. That front seven's okay, but you're going to soften them up. So it's fourth quarter time. You go get the win. So the run game's got to be good, got to be physical, and you've been able to perfect or at least get confident in the ability to run some power football if you're Nebraska. You did it last week against Rutgers, who has a vastly better, on paper, rushing defense than the Illini do. The other thing here with Nebraska, I mentioned the run game. That's good. That also helps you get a fast start. You've got so many articles on Hail Varsity. It's just tremendous, to be honest with you, to read. But it was a very interesting write-up and read on just where Nebraska goes success-wise in offense once they get that initial first down. You get a first down on a drive, they're scoring a really good percentage of the time. And it's not just three, you're getting seven. Nebraska didn't have that many field goal attempts this year. So get off to a fast start, which is always the mantra on the road. But think about Riley's tenure here. You've not had fast starts. And I'm going to go there in a second. Dare I say 2 years ago? I mean, is that not the definition of letting a team that's not as good as you hang around? Illinois somehow squeezes out 14 points on you in the final seven to win in the final minute of the game. When you're on their own 30, they go 70 yards on you to shock you. And really, that was the BYU Hail Mary was one thing. But that loss to Illinois 2 years ago still haunts Nebraska fans, still angers Nebraska fans. And it probably started the ball rolling when it comes to him and the uncertainty you may have about him. You can count some pretty good wins. You can love up the recruiting. You're at the point right now where you want to see on-field results. And in honesty, you're concerned about this one. Vegas is concerned about this one because of really the turnovers in your quarterback play. So from a Nebraska standpoint, start fast, step on their throat. This is a team you should do it, right? But this is a team that you really got to be in your own way if you don't do it tonight for Nebraska. The offensive line, the run game is going to get things off on that right foot. Defense has been playing really well, and they've been kind of focused because of the short turnaround time, the short work week. That's kind of some things here when you look at Nebraska and how they get out of their own way. The Illini at 2-1. I'll say a thought on them here real quick. They're not awful. They had their moments offensively. They looked okay from time to time. But they're, again, young and mistake prone. So I look at this here with Nebraska. Start fast. Get the offensive line going in rhythm, lathered up, get the run game going with this 1-2 punch. And lastly here, let's spend a few minutes here on Tanner Lee. Right? Is he not the $64,000 question tonight? You're getting good Tanner, you're getting bad Tanner, or you're getting this Tanner? Folks, Tanner has had 4 starts at Nebraska. He has had 19 starts at Tulane. You have, putting that addition together, you're right at 25 career starts. It is time to show improvement, growth, poise, ability, and finally success. Your whole point for Nebraska right now is to get to 3-2 and set up your opportunity, my friends, for Wisconsin next week and for Ohio State the following week. Make it a reality that the turnaround can happen. Make it a reality that you're still in the race in the West. You lose tonight, you're out of the West race, even at 1-1. You lose tonight, it turns this place into a meth lab explosion even before Wisconsin week. It just does. And at the center of that is Tanner Lee. And get him comfortable, get him ready, but also let him know, look him in the eye. You've been very patient with him. You've had his back. You've done a wonderful job of trying to continue to coach him up. You've attempted to put him in successful positions. Great. Now he's got to go do it. He's got to go make some plays. He's got to go get some completions done. He's got to throw the football away a bit. And for the love of God, the guy has been a starting quarterback now for parts of 3 seasons. Give your man 3 to 5 checks. Give him some audible options. So either if he needs to look to the sideline while he's at the line, assuming there's enough time to do so, but give him some ability to check out of a play. What audibles have you seen? 0. You've seen minimal audible work. And maybe it's done differently. Maybe it's just a hand signal. But I haven't seen much from an audible standpoint from Nebraska football. So pack your offensive line, your run game, your defense, your special teams, and get a managed game turnover free from your quarterback tonight. That's how you get out of Champaign with a win. Will Nebraska do it? We're titling today Get Out of Your Own Way Friday, or Costanza Friday. So we'll see if Nebraska can do it. Lastly, the defense. Listen, you've been getting confidence. You've been dinged up, I know. But you're a group that's been able to get young guys ready, and you've had some guys step in and step up. That's tremendous. Wonderful. Now, don't lose that edge. Don't lose that progression. And you're facing the 2 worst quarterbacks you will see all year. Crouch, we love the name. This one's named Chase. And if he keeps playing like he is, Lovie Smith may chase him out of the stadium. The kid's a turnover machine. Who's his backup? Say hey to the mullet. Jeff George Jr. He looked okay, and he got in. Now, Chase Crouch will get the start tonight, but he's been benched. It'll be interesting to see how he responded the last 2 weeks from getting yanked. And if you're Jeff George Jr., you're competitive. You're the anti-Jeff George Sr., which means you take to coaching, which means you listen to your coaches and teammates. He's got some arm talent. Doesn't have a lot of help around him. And Nebraska should do whatever they want tonight defensively. You're playing two quarterbacks that are very inconsistent and turnover prone. Your run defense has been your strength. The Illini has a kid out of Florida named Epstein that has about a fifth and a half gear, not quite a sixth gear. But that's where Illinois is going to make their money tonight, is off the zone read, and it's really no quarterback threat, but a zone read. And Nebraska's got a man up. They got to be great in the front seven and stop the run game. We are at Applebee's here, 40th and Old Cheney on Hail Varsity Radio. Roadshow Friday. You're just getting off work. It's gorgeous out. Swing on by. Half price apps till 6. We are here till 6 as well. And a great spot to check out Nebraska and Illinois. We invite you here. So do that. What's going on with Applebee's? Well, all Applebee's appetizers half price Monday through Friday, 3 to 6. And again, after 9. That's important because it'll be about the second quarter to halftime. We'll catch up with the Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman, talking Nebraska-Illinois next. Hail Varsity live on the road from your friends at Applebee's, 40th and Old Cheney.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes, that's awesome.
Back here, Roadshow Friday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We are here at Applebee's, 40th and Old Cheney. My brother letting me know that my first accident as a new driver, no one was harmed, but grandfather did swear at me, was near this Applebee's. We'll tell you that story in a little bit. Half-price apps here at Applebee's as you get ready for Nebraska and Illinois. Great TV setup in the bar area. Half-price apps till 6. Double crunch bone-in wings, boneless wings. They're incredible. Get the charred. Brewpub pretzels are my favorite. I have an IV of the beer cheese, to be honest with you, on order. And then the chicken wonton tacos are incredible. Steak quesadillas. And again, half-price apps after 9 if you're getting ready for high school football, if you're getting ready for youth soccer. Apologies about the youth soccer thing. I'm kidding. I love my kids' team. But anywho, let's talk some Nebraska, Illinois, as we welcome in the Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports' Bill Dolman. Billy D., how are you, sir?
Well, I'm trying to get accustomed to the fact that there is a not just any college football game on any night other than Saturday, that Nebraska is actually playing on Friday night. I didn't want it to believe. I didn't want to believe it to be true, but nevertheless, it is. And I'm just hoping that I'll get a chance to watch said game tonight out here in Sacramento.
Bill Dolman is in California. That is a good thing for football fans. We'll get Bill's take on his game this weekend. Now, Bill, are you losing your mind about tonight's schedule? I have not really complained about it much. I've just kind of silently accepted it, and it's a one-time misstep that won't happen again for Nebraska. They are buried with Miami and Duke getting going here in about an hour. Oh yeah, and by the way, Wazoo and USC get going tonight at 9:30. So this showcase opportunity is nothing like that at all, because they're even buried on Friday night. To me, this is kind of a Costanza Friday. Get out of your own way. I mean, that's what I look at this game for with Nebraska.
Well, I think after the tumult of the entire, well, the last week, especially the last 2 weeks, I think Nebraska was sleepwalking through the Rutgers game last week, and fortunately, you know, found its way to the bathroom in the middle of the night and won. That's positive. This is a winnable game for Nebraska. I would hope that, you know, given the fact that there's somebody heading up the athletic department right now that knows the program, knows us, knows everything. Now, we said this 10 years ago. I get it. But you can't make that same mistake twice with a guy like Dave Remington. I'm hoping that things have calmed down a little bit. Maybe getting away from home is a positive for this football team. They can't get off to the same start they had against Oregon, but they're not playing a team that's like Oregon. Everything about this game tonight points as a good opportunity for Nebraska to win this. It shouldn't be an if, but it is. But if Nebraska plays well, is focused, Nebraska should win this football game. I watched Illinois play South Florida a couple of weeks ago, and that just seems like a program that's completely disinterested in what it's doing. But they've got an accomplished NFL coach in Lovie Smith, but they weren't competitive at all in that game against South Florida. So I don't know what the direction of that program is. Hopefully the direction of our program after the last 2 weeks, and that's a short turnaround, is in a positive direction, and nothing would be better for Nebraska than to win a game on the road. So everything is pointing in the right direction. It's a matter of if they continue to go in that way.
Bill Dolman's with us. Hail Varsity Radio at Bill Dolman on Twitter. NBC Sports is Bill Dolman, and a longtime member of the Nebraska Athletic Department, and giving us a few thoughts here on tonight. Bill, you're right, man. Everything points to, look, this is very doable. This is kind of a chance to ramp up for Wisconsin. But the reality is this. You have the two most turnover-prone quarterbacks in action tonight. Illinois combined with two young quarterbacks to be not good, and Nebraska has had some issues with Tanner Lee. Not all nine his bad, but some of them very much his fault. And listen, Tanner's played a lot of football his freshman and sophomore year at Tulane. He was supposed to be better with better talent around him. He's been getting smacked around like he was at Tulane. Last week, the exception, obviously, but still he made some bad decisions. I got to get your thoughts here, and I'm not trying to scream for benching a kid and crushing his confidence, because I think Lee has some talent. I think he's got a lot of talent. That said, it's time to put up. And don't make him win it. Have him manage it. But he'll have chances tonight to make some game-winning type plays within a drive. How long do you stick with him if he keeps playing shaky?
Well, here's the thing. I've said this for many years on this show and elsewhere. It cannot always be Tanner Lee taking every single snap of every game to the very end, win, lose, up big, down big, whatever the case might be. You got to work some guys in, especially if you don't have a quarterback, in my estimation, that is a dominant quarterback. All right? So Nebraska hurts themselves. All teams hurt themselves when we picked our starter and he's the guy. Why was Brooke Boehringer prepared to play when Tommy Frazier went down? It's because Brooke got some snaps, meaningful snaps during games, and was ready to get, and had some experience. Why was Matt Turman, of all people, somewhat ready, you know, relatively speaking, that day in Manhattan, Kansas? Because in blowout games, he at least got to trot out onto the field in front of whatever remained of 76,000 people. He knew what it looked like in the huddle to look around and see those guys around him, to look and see a lot of safety blankets, let's face it. But Nebraska always played guys and gave them some snaps, whether it was 1, 10, 20, whatever the case might be. We have sold ourselves on this NFL mentality that once you have a starting quarterback, he's got to play right up until the final kneel down in a 45-7 game. Now, granted, we haven't had a lot of 45-7 games, but if you're going to make a move and take Tanner Lee out of a game, and maybe he's shaky and he throws another pick six, well, you're going to trot out O'Brien or Jebby or somebody, Riker Fife, back in that day, and you're talking about any experience. To me, Nebraska puts itself in a hole that even if they wanted to give that kid a break, they're putting in somebody that is completely cold, right? And that is a problem and has been with this program for a decade, all right? Secondly, it can't be all on Tanner Lee. It's obvious at this point that he is not a dominant quarterback. And he went to Tulane out of high school, all right? You have to look at that. He went to Tulane. But it can't be all on him that he's the guy who's going to win games for us. Maybe Tommy Armstrong could get away with doing that the last couple of years despite his turnover problems. But it's got to be on that offensive line to protect the kid. It's got to be on receivers making catches. It's got to be on the defense to not give up the big play. But everybody's looking at Tanner Lee as, well, wow, he threw another pick six. Well, block for the guy, you know? Or block so well that you can get 3, 4, 5 yards by handing the ball off to a running back consistently and not being surprised that he popped one for 8 yards. It can't be all on this on Tanner Lee, especially given his resume, his background, and the ability that we've seen so far. And again, if they can't get 3 yards on a freaking dive play, Nebraska's got greater problems than Tanner Lee. All right? I think I texted you earlier in the week. I hope Dave Remington met with the senior staff, with every coach, with Mike Riley, and then I hope that he gathered around the offensive line and said, guys, I was the offensive player of the year in the Big 8 Conference, fifth in the Heisman Trophy voting. It's on you to get the job done and be badasses up front, first, second, third, fourth quarter, and not be, you know, this finesse football team. It's not all on Tanner Lee. I'm a little on a little rant here, but I'm not sure that he's as good as we thought he was going to be. Well, it's pretty clear he's not. But it's got to be more than him. And it's got to be people looking in the mirror and going, I got to do better.
Bill Dolman, the Pride of Fairbury with us, Sail Varsity Radio. No, it's not all him, but there are plays when he's had support either by his receivers or the line that he hasn't made, and it's time to start making them is my point. But you're right. Run the football. Help him out. Bill, you kind of mentioned
it. What is the best game of the Mike Riley era? The
Michigan
UCLA
State.
Win in the Farmers Bowl. And what are they doing that game? With an experienced quarterback, ran the ball down their throat. They turned, and then we thought, hey, well, maybe that's the offense of the future at Nebraska. All right, you've got a quarterback who's got a propensity to throw interceptions and throw them for pick sixes. Then let's figure out who's the baddest five guys and put them on the offensive line and say, go get them, and let's just play 4 or 5 yards at a pop. Let's run the ball 60 times and not put the ball in Tanner Lee's hands, but he's got so much pressure on him to make a play. It's on the offensive line.
No,
it's
the emphasis
football.
Needs to be there. They ran it 31 times with the play call called Zonka, and maybe they have seen the light. Bill, I got to get your take here. I need a prediction. What happens tonight? I got about 90 seconds, and then what game do you have tomorrow?
Well, I'm never going to go against the Big Red, and I think on the road this is a winnable game and maybe the last most winnable game on the schedule. So I'm going to go Nebraska. I think it's going to be a low-scoring defensive affair. Nebraska 362-23. Take the under. And I've got the big North Dakota UC Davis game out here in Sacramento tomorrow, the Fighting Dan Hawkinses. Trying to pick up a victory against a team that is the preseason pick to win the Big Sky Conference, but they're off to 1-3 start. So two teams that got to have a win, and you can see it tomorrow since there's no Nebraska football tomorrow on 11 sports.
Does Hawk still have the 8 is enough haircut? Did we lose him?
No,
LAD? Okay, sorry about that. 20 seconds. Does Hawkins still have the 8 is enough haircut?
Yeah, he's a little owly. He looks like Adam Rich grew up.
Bill, thanks so much, brother. Take care.
All right, Mike.
There he is, Pride of Fairbury. Bill Dolman, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. He says Nebraska 362-23. Take the unders, is what he said. And reminding you about drinking and driving, please do not do it. And if you do, how about a DWI? That'll cost you $12,000 in fines and fees and jail time. And you'll be required to install that interlock device. Make plans tonight. Get that sober ride home. You drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. A quick timeout. And we'll have our discussion, our chat with Gerald Foster, captain with Nebraska football on that offensive line. Gerald Foster next on Hail Varsity, live at Applebee's here at 40th at Old Cheney.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio. I sit down with Gerald Foster. Gerald, great ball game for the O-line and the rushing attack. Were you confident you guys would respond like you did this weekend?
Yeah, no. I felt that our guys understood that if we were able to, you know, showcase ourselves in this game, that we would just be able to have that just self-awareness that, you know, we're the team that we've been thinking that we were, and that with being able to go against a good team like Rutgers is just it's nice for a confidence builder. So I'm happy that we did well, that we played our game well, and going forward, I feel like we're going to be stronger for it.
What responsibility did you take as a captain? What did you say to the guys? And what type of message did you send to the rest of the line this past week?
Well, I would just say that we didn't have one of our best games. We didn't play exactly how we wanted to the week before. So not only adding on to that, but adding on that this was Big Ten play, really important to our season. I was more telling our guys that we're a better O-line than we've been showing ourselves, and that if we put our minds to it, we could definitely showcase ourselves in the next game, which is what I felt like we did. I felt like we came out, we worked well together, we slowed down the game, calmed down, and we just did what we're supposed to. Throughout the whole spring, throughout the summer, we've been working well together. So us putting together out on the field, it was nice to be able to see it.
From a game plan standpoint, more of an emphasis on the ground. You did that without Trey being there. Really good 1-2 punch with Wilbon, Zigbo, and Jalen even got in. Being able to be effective as you were running the football, was that something that you felt proud about moving forward? Do you think it can be more of a strength on the offense?
Oh yeah, I feel like our run game is as good as the O-line, and not taking away from our running backs, because I feel like our running backs run hard every single play. So if there are no holes, then they just can't showcase themselves the way that they should be able to. So with us being able to play well and just allowing, you know, them to be able to do what they do best, which is make people miss and get those yak yards, I'm just happy that that we did well. We definitely pulled it together.
What was Coach Cav's message to you guys? How was he able to communicate the good, the bad, and then the push for improvement? How did he approach that with you guys?
We only take one day to look at the game that we just played. And through that, we went over, you know, all of our problems and the things like that. But then coming into the week, he was pretty much preaching to us the whole time, prepare for the game, us being able to prepare. And that was the big thing that we were going for. We all changed our notebooks, got new ones. We're all like, this is Big Ten play, more serious. Not saying that we didn't take the other game serious, but we understand what the Big Ten play is. If you want to have a good season, you got to be able to do well here. We're just happy that we did come out in this first game and do well.
Being a guy who's been in the city of Lincoln for a few years and going to school here, are you able to shut out the outside noise? Was that something that was a distraction? Did it crank up how tense things were? Or did you guys just kind of hunkered out? How did you handle last week?
Our whole team, we all stick together, you know, through the good and the bad times. So we were always staying together and didn't listen to if, you know, there are problems. We tried to keep ourselves, you know, out of social media, just so that we'd be able to, again, prepare for the game that we had ahead. At Nebraska, being such a, you know, high-end football school, there's always going to be people, you know, just wanting you to do better. And we're definitely happy that we have, you know, such great fans and that. And we're happy that our fans, you know, they really want the best out of us. So, that's just what you get when you have such a high-end team such as the Huskers.
T, Tanner Lee is a guy that's got a ton of talent, that drive where you guys kind of took control of the game. What was it, 17 plays, 97-yard drive to retake the lead, put the exclamation point, give your guys some breathing room. Did you notice anything different about Tanner that drive? Because he had heard from the crowd the previous series. There was another pick six. Did you notice him kind of step up on that drive?
I feel like Tanner, every single drive, he's been the guy that we're going to look to for our leadership. So, whatever happens, the good and the bad, we do understand that that we're going to be behind him with whatever he has to say. If it's let's keep moving, let's keep pushing. We need the O-line to do that much better. We're going to do what we need to for him. So I'm happy to be able to have such a leader in him at quarterback. And yeah, he's got so much talent, and a lot of things have been happening throughout this this year, just because the O-line, we weren't blocking as well, which just gives that much more pressure on him. But we're all figuring ourselves out as an offense, and we're going to move forward.
What do you remember about the Illini? Did you go on the trip last time? Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago. Yeah, I did. I remember that they had a good. Good environment. I enjoyed, their stadium and the way that their fans were a part of the game. So it's going to be a whole lot of fun. They're a good football team. They always have a good group of D-line. They're seven that they rotate. It's usually a good group of guys. So being able to play them and being able to see, exactly who we are on the road with such a good front as they have is going to be fun.
All right, what T-shirt you got on here? Explain this one to me.
All right, so this one, it says Finish Him, and then it's Sub-Zero and Scorpion. This is Mortal Kombat, real big video game I used to be into when I was real young, still into it, but I would say one of my favorite ones. I love all these fun shirts just because it reminds me of my childhood, just playing around, having more fun than doing school and all the other stuff that I have to do now. But just little things just to get you through the day.
Did you ever have the pleasure of playing a video game on a Sega?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. This is my first Sega game.
Okay, so you get Sega. Wonderful. Yeah, cool.
This is it. This is the first one. I played it until I couldn't blow through the thing anymore trying to get it to work. This is definitely it.
All right, were you a control chucker?
I had mine. The Sega, back in the day, for the kids, the young kids that don't know, they made controllers and everything.
They could survive a nuclear blast.
I was going to say, they could take a beating, so you could do whatever you wanted with them. So, I would definitely try to see if I couldn't throw it through the wall, but it was a whole lot of fun.
Okay, lastly, how many Sega controllers made their way to the Foster household? I'm sure it wasn't just Mortal Kombat. You and your brother were playing. You had college football, you had baseball, you had a lot of competitive, you play each other.
Oh, yeah.
So how many controllers do you guys think you went through?
My dad, he'd be more to know, but he was definitely, a competitive guy just like us. But
so dad was throwing them?
Oh yeah, we all tried to figure out if we can't throw a Sega controller, but I'd say maybe five ish. Nothing bad, five, six.
Schmidt record was eight, but I'm going to blame my brother on that. Gerald, good to speak with you. Thanks for a few.
Yeah, no problem.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
It's a good day. It's Friday. We're here at Applebee's, 40th at Old Shady here in Lincoln. And half-price apps till 6 o'clock tonight and after 9 as we get you ready for Nebraska and Illinois. Car side to go. I'm staring at beer taps right now, and they're taunting me. And we get you ready for Nebraska, Illinois. Jay Donaldson runs Applebee's here at 40th and Old Shady. Jay, it's great to sit down with you, man. Thanks for a few minutes, and thanks for having us out. Not a bad spot in the house here when it comes to TV setup and a place to just chill and watch some Husker football tonight. How are you?
I'm good. Good. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's spend a few minutes here, because not only do you have Nebraska football and Illinois tonight, a place to watch college football on a Friday. Yes, I said it, college football on a Friday.
Crazy.
But you guys have just a great setup with Thurston 10. I love this program. That's Mondays. That's Sundays. That's Thursdays. That's some awesome NFL options you got. And it is, again, we'll tweet out a picture here of the TV setup you have here at Applebee's. But this program here, this Thirst and 10 program, that's half-price apps, isn't it, all day?
All day long, every Sunday, Monday, and Thursday.
Okay.
Can't beat that.
No, it isn't. It's phenomenal. You love wings. You love some quesadillas. You love the pretzels. And then the beer specials. You have the $6 Bloody Mary. You have the $6 Touchdown Margarita. And the $2 Kamikaze, which is great. So tell me a little bit about some of the menu items you got going that folks may not know about, the 2-for-20 going on as well, and just some of the selection and choices you have here at this Applebee's.
Well, this Applebee's, we have, like you said, all the half-price appetizers. The wings are always a favorite. Quesadillas, spinach and artichoke dip, we sell so much.
Kind of undefeated,
that. Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That's a game changer there. Everybody goes for that. You know, we got other things going on too, like on Monday nights we do the $6.99 burgers. Mm-hmm. We've got kids night every Wednesday with 99 cent kids meals. Great opportunity to bring your family out and enjoy some dinner and go home, get ready for the next day. And always the 2-for-20 specials. We've got some great new selections on there with the Bourbon Street chicken and shrimp just getting moved over, and the sirloin stir fry, wonton stir fry. Shrimp and wonton stir fry, other favorites. Whiskey bacon burger, another great choice, very popular. Selling a lot of
whiskey and bacon, yeah. And then burger.
Whiskey barbecue sauce and some caramelized onions. Yeah,
that's pretty good. I love that idea, and that may find its way in front of me here before kickoff. Nebraska, Illinois, here 40th and Old Cheney. Applebee's is where we're at here in Lincoln. If you're on your way into town, maybe you got some soccer or some youth things going on. Or perhaps it's just maybe a bit of a getaway weekend, or you're coming into town for volleyball. Get on out here to Applebee's. And I tell you what, the Tuesday-Thursday special, too, is great because they have 50-cent boneless wings, 55-cent bone-in wings all day. And again, tell folks a bit about the dine-in and call-ahead options you have. Dining in, obviously, we've hit on the appetizers, the half-price apps. But car side, I mean, it's so convenient if... Listen, you can't stay, but you want to. You can get it and go, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Just give us a call, 402-420-1182, and we'll have your order ready for you to go. We'll bring it out to your car. I've got Brandy, Alicia, and Shannon over there tonight. They'll be happy to take great care of you. So also come into the bar, see Carr and Aubrey behind the bar. Mm-hmm. They're ready to go. Take care of folks. Watch the game. Watch Nebraska beat Illinois.
Well, it's
7 o'clock on a Friday night.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That'll happen tonight. Jay, before I let you get out of here, my man, I got about 15 seconds. What is the score going to be tonight? I need Jay's prediction.
Oh, my God. It's got to be like 36-27.
Okay, so 9-point win, Nebraska win over Illinois.
Of course.
Jay, good to see you. Thanks for having us out here at Applebee's.
Thank you very much.
All right, hour two coming up. Brandon Vogel from Champaign, the Friday forecast next on Hail Varsity.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
In hour two, it is Road Show Friday on Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We're here at Applebee's, 40th and Old Cheney in Lincoln, and we are excited that Nebraska, Illinois kicking off here in a couple of hours. Coming up, the Friday forecast with Klausburn. We'll have a thought or two on Tanner Lee and some of his interceptions. The turnover number will be monstrous tonight for whoever gets out of town with the win, and if you're a Nebraska fan, you're praying for the Big Red. A man in Champaign, let us make sure we're for sure Champaign, not Champagne Room. That's an awful joke, but I think it's kind of funny. We welcome in Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and magazine. Add Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. I think, Vogues, you're in the press box, aren't you?
I am in the press box. I am overlooking the there's a lot of nice tailgating space around Illinois Stadium. So currently overlooking that from the 8th floor. It's pretty nice.
Hmm. So I got to ask you, is there going to be more folks tailgating? How's the weather there versus finding their way inside to catch a, well, a much anticipated Friday night Big Ten game?
It's pretty nice right now. It's a little bit windy. It looks windier in the stadium, judging from the flags, than it appears to be outside a little bit. So if you remember the last time Nebraska was here, it was definitely a wind-influenced game. Might have some of that against Knight, which should make Run the Ball Guy happy if he gets what he wants, because everything certainly seems to be crying out for that.
So you're telling me it's going to be windy in Champaign, and you know what, my friend, that can make some cringe if the memory of 2 years ago rises up. Over under on the number of, well, of flashbacks they show from 2015 in tonight's FS1 broadcast.
Let's set the over under it. I'm going to go 1.5. So if you get two and you took the over, you'll win on that. That was kind of a, there's not a lot of highlights really to show from that game. So you might burn yourself out on the first one.
Yeah. You're still looking for highlights on that one, a 14-13. Vogues, let's start off here. And I love what you do with Hot Reads. It's every morning, HailVarsity.com. Brandon has a story, some thoughts for the day, and also some links for you to check out if you love not only Nebraska football, but college football, or just sports in general. And you can find Brandon, of course, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. But HailVarsity.com, we invite you to read the Hot Reads. But you titled this a couple of days ago, yesterday actually, Momentum Matters. And you know what? I'm a broken record, and I'll admit that, about starting fast and, you know, what you got to do to go win on the road. But this has been a roller coaster of a season for Nebraska, and this is a very winnable game. It's also a you know, can't lose it game. We said that last week too, but Nebraska fans kind of crept into this doubt mode, and I don't blame them for it. For you, you spent some time on momentum matters, and when it comes to getting a first down, kind of expand on some of the research you did, if you could. And how do you think Nebraska plans to attack first down? Similar to Rutgers with the run choice, or, you know what, this is a pro-style offense, and damn it, we're going to throw it?
Yeah, it's certainly interesting. So right now, Nebraska's offense through four games is scoring a touchdown on about 37% of its drives where they get a first down, which might sound a little bit weird, but it kind of makes sense. So what you're looking for there is, okay, you've got that first down. How good are you at keeping that momentum going? And 37%, about average, maybe a little bit low. Nebraska was at 39% last year. But 2015, so the first year in this offensive scheme, they were all the way up around 44%. So, and that kind of harkens back to what I remember from this offense and what I think it can look like if they get things running the way that they hope they can. And that's one that once they get that first down, things really start to build, and it kind of opens everything up for them. They haven't been able to do that very often. They haven't been very good on the first play of drives in terms of gaining yards consistently. And when you don't do that for an offense that's, well, is as banged up as this one has been so far, but also breaking in as many new guys as they have had to this year, it's tough for them to even get that momentum started. We saw, particularly in the first two games, when they got it, they looked pretty good in stretches. So I think that'll be a big one tonight. Let's see if this offense continues to take steps forward. And I think that's one of the ways you'll be able to measure it.
How great is the temptation to still wing it a bit? Not 40 times, mind you, but yeah, Kind of follow up to what Riley was talking about. Need to be better balanced on the offense, i.e., you can't be 13-26 throwing the ball for a .109. You got to use this game as a way to kind of work some kinks out as well. How disciplined will Nebraska be with their run-pass ratio, knowing the liability on this Illini defense is the secondary?
Well, we'll find out pretty quickly. You know, we've seen games in the past. This Illinois game 2 years ago here was one where they felt like they couldn't run it, so they essentially stopped. And it was a windy day. There were tough conditions to throw in, and they still did. I mean, there is a little bit of, I think, with this staff in particular, of resisting temptation. That's kind of what they know. They feel like they've got a pretty good grasp on it. And even when the run game appears to be going well, it almost feels like there isn't a ton of confidence in it at all times to kind of, I think in the passing game, they feel comfortable. We can run anything we want, and we know it's going to work well. I don't know if they totally have a grasp on that in the running game all the time, so I think that's part of it as well. But again, this is like sort of the perfect test case, or at least it looks that way on paper, of a game where Nebraska should test things on the ground, should be able to have some success, and build from there. If they don't, I guess I don't know what to tell you anymore at this point.
Call for help is what we're talking about. Brandon Vogel is live in Champaign, getting ready for Nebraska, Illinois. We're here at Applebee's 40th and Old Shady, as it's a road show Friday with Hail Varsity Radio. So one thing I've noticed, and I want your take on this, do you think Nebraska will say there's penetration, or say, and they'll face this, they'll be playing better defensive lines, better front sevens as the year goes forward? I don't think Illinois is bad. Rutgers was okay, but Nebraska made a point to run out of the shotgun. That helped out with some play action that was needed, and Tanner's looked good. And I think the old slant route in the slot off the play action fake in the shotgun. Do you foresee maybe Nebraska just doing more and more snaps out of the shotgun because it's been successful?
Yeah, you could. It's, it kind of depends a little bit on who you're facing too. And I think Illinois, well, not the defensive line it had last year. They've got a couple of young guys there who've been pretty promising. They've got one of their best pass rushers, actually an outside linebacker, not a defensive lineman, back for this game after serving a 3-game suspension. So I think it's a team that can challenge Nebraska in that way. And I think they're a team that also benefits. They were talented there last year, yes, but you also see a little bit, I think, of this Illinois coaching staff at work with all the NFL experience they have. Seems like they've done a pretty good job of identifying guys who are going to fit this scheme. So it wouldn't be a surprise to see a lot of shotgun tonight, just kind of based on how things go. And it'll be interesting to see how Nebraska's run game works out of that, if that's sort of plan A coming in.
I want to talk Illinois for a second, specifically with just their kind of their attitude, their mindset, just what they are. They were extremely physical and injured some of Nebraska's key players a year ago through clean football hits. And I'm thinking of Seaton, and I'm thinking of Jordy, Wester Jordan Westerkamp. So that happened a year ago, and Nebraska had to kind of turn it on in the fourth quarter. 2 years ago, they hang around. And is it fair to say that they just evaluate pretty well for young guys, but above all, they find a way to be tough? I mean, and that's something, I think that's something to look at tonight. I'm going to go tough guy card here, forgive me. But Illinois has been the tougher team the last two seasons Nebraska's faced them, and Nebraska's 1-1. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I would say so. I think defensively you're really seeing the reflection of what this coaching staff brings. They're probably more talented from a coaching perspective on that side of the ball. And I think Illinois going forward under the staff is always going to be pretty sound on that side. They're going to be pretty physical. And that makes sense when you're, let's see, they're 15 games into this Lovie Smith regime. Those are kind of the things you can control the earliest. It's going to take you a while to get your guys in. It's going to take you a while to develop some of those other things. But if you can get teams that can control those two parts, you're making some pretty good progress in my mind.
With this game tonight, who are some players you're anxious to see for Nebraska? I know Nebraska's still pretty injured, but two or three guys that need to have big games tonight for Nebraska. Who are you looking at?
Yeah, I'm interested to see how Zigbo comes back from a really solid outing last week. It's tough to decide between him and Wilbon in terms of pointing to a guy who has to play well. But I'd say one of those two. After telling you Aaron Williams last week, I guess I'll go back to him. He should be itching to go, and should be okay on that front. And, defensive line is kind of – it's tough to take your eyes off of Carlos Davis in particular, but also Khalil when he gets in there. So I'm interested to see, are they continuing to take steps forward? Because for a group that – we kind of didn't know what to do with coming in with the scheme switch under Diaco. I think they've probably progressed as much as any group on that side of the ball. So I'll be keeping a close eye on that as well.
What's your thought on Tanner Lee? What do you predict he does tonight?
I think he'll play better. You know, it seems like, excuse me, I don't know, you know, it's kind of hard to figure is what he's been so far what he is, or has this sort of been the worst of him? I'm still willing to give him the benefit of the doubt and trend towards he can get much better from where he's been. And I do think there's a good chance that it can start tonight, particularly if Nebraska has as much success running it as I think they could. Things should get a little bit easier for him if the coaching staff decides to go that way and make things a little bit easier on him earlier rather than asking him to do a lot early and then having to play catch up, because then you never sort of get ahead of the eight ball in that scenario if you're Lee.
Do you think he's been mismanaged at all, or is it just an instance where he shows you X, Y, and Z that he does well in practice, but the carryover to the game hasn't been there? Where are you leaning?
Yeah, I would probably lean towards the latter. You know, you heard so much about his talent, and it's easy to label that all as hype, and I get that. But so much of that talk was sort of about his talent, his throwing ability. And there's a difference, you know, that's only a part of being an actual quarterback. So I think we're kind of waiting more on the other parts of it to sort of show themselves in terms of decision making. I don't worry about him from a leadership perspective, because everything we've heard, that's not something we really get to see up close and personal, but everything we've heard is good on that front. So, you know, it might just be a little bit of, for whatever reason, when they've gotten into games, and part of this is, again, Nebraska hasn't been ahead a whole lot. You're seeing a little bit of wobble there in terms of from what you may have seen in the steadiest that he provided in practice. So I definitely lean towards that side of the equation.
Vogues is in Champaign, Illinois, getting ready to cover Nebraska, Illinois for Hail Varsity. He is eighth floor of the press box. That is impressive. Vogues, I got to know a score from you. I know you got to run out and do a quick catch up with some folks. So I know that the forecast is not something you're doing this week. That said, I need a prediction from you, my friend, and a place that you need to eat at in Champaign, not named Applebee's.
In terms of score, I think when we did our predictions on the website today, I think I was in the neighborhood of 31-14. So I think Nebraska's going to play well. I think some things that haven't clicked in the first couple of weeks do click this week. And I expect the defense to continue to take steps forward, even if they're not huge ones at this point. Every step counts. In terms of places to eat, I just got in today. I'm forgetting the name of the barbecue place. We went there last year. The guys got in last night, went there last night as well. Blacks. Something I forgot, but there is a great barbecue place in Champaign. You can reach out to any of us on Twitter and we can get that for you.
Done. Are you okay with an 8:05 a.m. wake up call tomorrow?
yes, it'll be interesting to do a post game Saturday show.
You know what, the last time we did a post game Saturday, Kranak got back from Columbia. It was a Thursday night game when Sue tried to, you know, permanently hurt Gabbert. It was nuts.
Yeah. Fun time.
Well, Vogues, you take care, and great coverage as always with Hail Varsity. Thanks so much for giving us a few minutes, and we'll talk soon, bud.
All right. Thanks a lot.
There he is, Brandon Vogel in Champaign. And Nebraska wins by a lot tonight. You'll visit the Champaign Room. They need to do it. It'll work. Again, the theme today, Get Out of Your Own Way Friday. Nebraska needs to do that, or Costanza Friday, as a guy that's, well, he's pleasant to some, abrasive to others, but he has the picks for you at the Friday Forecast. Klausburn is coming up on Hail Varsity Radio. We are live here at Applebee's, 40th at Old Shady. Half price apps till 6, half price apps after 9. Beer specials. We want to see you down here to catch Nebraska, Illinois Husker volleyball on the tube too. So we're out here till 6 and hanging out beyond with Hail Varsity here at Applebee's, 40th and Old Cheney.
And now
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. A road show Friday. We are at Applebee's, 40th and Old Cheney, getting ready for Nebraska, Illinois. It is that time for the Friday forecast, presented by the Gamblers Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling, and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, call the statewide helpline, 1-800-522-4700. Welcome in Greg Smith, Mr. Recruiting of Hail Varsity. And magazine at Greg Smith HV. Greg, how are you, sir?
I am excellent, man. How are you doing?
Doing well. Excited about this ball game tonight to see just what type of jump, if any, Nebraska has made. Without further ado, he got us a couple of minutes before being taken into custody last week. The infamous Klaus Burton with us. Klaus, how are you?
Well, I got to admit, I'm a little disappointed this week. I told you last week I was up for a job, and they ended up not going with me because they didn't want me stopping down for 10 minutes every week on Fridays. So they said I needed to be more devoted, and they went with a young fella by the name of David. So I'm a little stung.
Well, I hope you get over that, Klaus. A lot of football going on. And let's start off tonight with the game, Pac-12 After Dark, a Friday edition. The Pirate Mike Leach was with us yesterday. He was once an SID. That was a funny story. It'll be an even funnier story if he comes out with an eye patch to take out SC. Ball game tonight, about 9:30 on the Palouse. SC favored by 3.5. Greg, start us off. How you feeling? Are you joining the upset trend here with the Cougs, or do you think the men of Troy, do that whole victory thing and then some?
You know, it's funny that this one is a line at 3.5 on this one. It does feel like everybody's feeling the Cougs and the Pirates on this one. I am not. I'm just going to go the opposite way. I feel like USC is due to put together a full offensive game. Sam Darnold, second in the nation with interceptions right now. I feel like he has a slump buster against an improved Washington State defense, but not quite there yet. I'm going to go USC 45, Washington State 28.
Wow. That's going to be some tears in the beer there up in Wazoo land. I'm going to go and be trendy here and pick the Washington State upset. Blinders fully off, of course. And I'm going to go with a couple of reasons here. One, SC's run game was good against Stanford. They were balanced. They didn't run so well against Texas. I understand that was back-to-back. But this has been a pretty tough stretch for SC. They snuck out of Cal with a 10-point win. I think they'll have an issue running the football against Washington State. I think Washington State's defense is for real. I think Hercules will get after Sam Darnold. And I think believe it or not, the run game of Washington State will, well, add just enough to make sure it's not all folk against that SC secondary. Give me the Cougars in the upset, 35-28. Go Pirate. There you go. There's my cards on the table. Klausburn, what do you think?
Well, I realize that the game is in Pullman, but I think USC possibly will have a distinct home field advantage because I think there's a real great chance that when they look down the sideline, they're going to see a guy in outdated clothing swinging a sword atop a noble steed. Now, of course, that guy's going to be calling plays for the opposition, but that's something they're absolutely comfortable with. And so I'm going to take USC in this one by a score of 31-24.
Let's talk Clemson at Virginia Tech. A few buddies of mine made the trip to Blacksburg. I think that was back in 09. And when Roy Helu went nuts, but no one got in the end zone. And, well, you know how that finished off. Clemson favored 7.5 on the road. The last major hurdle, arguably, for Clemson. Virginia Tech is good, but not good enough at quarterback. I think Clemson has the edge there. Also, Clemson's defense has been incredible. Why wouldn't they be this weekend? A little bit tighter ball game, but give me Clemson 31-21 over Virginia Tech. Greg, what do you think?
You know, it's going to be an electric atmosphere. You know, game day heading out to Blacksburg, night game, all of that, the pageantry of college football, right? But I think I'm going to start making a habit to not pick against Clemson anymore for the foreseeable future, because it appears as if they just reloaded. That defense will travel. It'll travel well. It's probably the best one in the country. I'm going to go Clemson in a low-scoring ball game in this one. Clemson 21, Virginia Tech 10.
Okay. Good call, Greg. I like that. Claus, what do you think here, Hokies or Tigers?
Well, first, guys, I just have to say I'm a little less up on the news this week because I deleted all my social media. You know, I was tired of everyone complaining about the loud, annoying Orange loser on the East Coast. You know, everyone's all up in arms about what old Big Orange is doing to football, and tired of them dominating the headlines all the time. And of course, this afternoon, I realized they weren't talking about Clemson. So, I'm a big Clemson fan. I enjoy what they do. And if history's any indicator, when Big Orange tries to win somewhere in the Virginia area, they have been lately. So, I'll take Clemson 35-24.
Let's get to Big Ten play. Big game for Michigan State. Big game for Iowa. Is it an issue here this weekend where Penn State beats Iowa twice? Sparty just fumbled away any chance to get by Notre Dame. Out-yarded them majorly. Didn't happen. Give me Iowa. And it's going to be a tight ball game, 21-17. I like how Schneider's playing at quarterback. I think that's the difference. Iowa's D is good. Michigan State just snake bit. That'll continue. Could be a three-game losing streak for Sparty. I think Iowa makes that happen. Hawkeyes 21-17. Greg?
Man, it feels like everyone else is all over Michigan State, but we're going to go two in a row here for Iowa. I think Iowa bounces back after that tough loss against Penn State. I think Wadley does just enough to, with that running game to get Iowa to propel them to a victory. I'm going to go Iowa 14, Michigan State 10.
You are going old school Big Ten 14.
Yes, snoozer, yes.
Oh, it's going to be vintage. Roll your sleeves up and see how much you bleed, Greg. I like it. Okay, Claus, what do you think here, Iowa or Michigan State?
Well, I don't have a whole lot to say other than the way Iowa lost last weekend was so fun for me. I had to consult my physician after about 4 hours. So, the missus and I have a little bit of alone time this weekend, so I'm pulling for Michigan State again. I'll take them in this one, 17-14.
All right, another Big Ten classic. Northwestern at Wisconsin. Here's the thing about Northwestern. They have played Wisconsin well, somehow, some way, for the most part. They've even beaten Wisconsin. Not this year. Not going to happen. I don't think this is close. I think Wisconsin's quarterback play has been surprisingly good. Their defense is phenomenal. Their O-line is incredible, and they'll run it down Northwestern's throat. Northwestern's been just bad on offense, bad running the football, which is too bad for Justin Jackson. Give me Wisconsin 45, Northwestern 21, the win and cover for Whiskey. Greg?
I got this one not being close as well. I think that, you know, Husker fans are probably rooting for Northwestern to at least beat up on Wisconsin a little bit in this one, which maybe they will for a little bit, but probably not for very long. Doesn't mean they're going to pull the upset. I think Wisconsin runs all over them. I think Wisconsin covers as well. It'll be Bucky 31, Northwestern 10.
All right, we're going to go bonus round here before we get to Nebraska and Illinois. Georgia at Rocky Top, Tennessee. Them Dogs are 7.5-point favorites. Greg, start us off here. What are you feeling here in the SEC East?
You know, everything logically tells you to go with Georgia, and this one is better football team. Butch Jones on the hot seat, too, as he always seems to be. I'm going to just go ahead and go with Tennessee, throw caution to the wind, and a big upset here. I'm going to go Tennessee 31, Georgia 30.
You know, you look at Georgia, they made a change, and they went and got Kirby Smart to get past these 4-0, 3-0, 5-0 starts, right? And they've always kind of stubbed their toe against somebody. They didn't have great success against Florida. Tennessee's had their number. Maybe they're great and they can't close the deal in an SEC championship game. I think this is the year as up and down as Tennessee has been, the way they lost to Florida, they could have lost to Georgia Tech. I know, coulda. I think Georgia just comes in there, runs the football, and slaps around that Tennessee offense. Give me them dogs as Kirby and the gang get and stay perfect to 5-0. Give me Georgia 27. Give me Tennessee 20. A win but no cover, the old hook for Rocky Top there. But Georgia stays unbeaten and beats Tennessee. Claus, what do you think here?
Well, I haven't put a whole lot of thought into this game. These are two teams that really haven't won a whole lot, unless you count Champions of Life. But the interesting thing is both of these coaches, I think, are going to be extremely red by the end of the game. Kirby, because that's a school color, and Butch, because that's what he does every single week. I'll take Georgia in this one by a score of 28-17.
Okay. Nebraska, Illinois, listen, I have wrestled with this quite a bit. I think this is a good kind of ramp-up game for Nebraska. The O-line travels. The special teams travel. The defense travels. And Nebraska might be a bit tight for that first quarter, but Nebraska pounds away at those freshmen at Illinois. And give me the Huskers and a better performance from Tanner Lee as they win 31-13 today in Champaign. Greg?
You know, I do think this is a good game to get ready for Wisconsin, which is something we never thought we would have been saying coming into the season, because Nebraska has to turn around really quickly on a short week, not get to feel too good about themselves after the performance, or, you know, nitpick about what they did after the performance against Rutgers. I think they will maybe learn that they got to run it a little bit more with this current group of guys that they have. I don't think Tanner Lee throws an interception. I'm going to go Nebraska 31, Illinois 17.
Okay. Claus, what happens tonight?
Well, you know, last week I actually went and sat out amongst the people. I'm a man of the people, if nothing else. And one thing I heard a lot during the game is they felt that Mike Riley is just too nice. He's too good a guy, too sweet a man to really have that killer instinct. Well, for goodness sakes, guys, Illinois' coach is literally named Lovey. Why not call him Cuddle Bunny or Snuggly Bear or something like that? I think we've got the killer instinct this week, and Nebraska wins the ball game 21-14, and Illinois only closes the gap late.
Okay, Klausburn there. Friday forecast brought to you by the Gambler's Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling, and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, call the statewide helpline 800-522-4700. Greg, thanks for jumping in, brother.
Yeah, not a problem.
Claus, be good, bud.
Okay.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Well, big thanks from Claus Byrne and his picks. And Greg Smith sitting in. Hope you're doing all right on a Friday. Getting ready for Nebraska and Illinois. We're here at Applebee's 40th at Old Shady. We invite you out as half price apps till 6, half price apps after 9. That is a glorious thing. As there's a ton going on tonight. Carside to go is just a beautiful option for you. And you can just get your food ordered. Applebee's app will let you do that. Food and drink specials. We're going to be here kicking it for the Illinois-Nebraska game for a while. Once we get done at 6, little pregame prime up. So we invite you over to Applebee's 40th and Old Cheney in Lincoln. And if you are if you're just craving some incredible wings, Applebee's will be the spot for you across the Hail Varsity Network, where you hear us in Columbus and Hastings and Kearney and Grand Island and North Platte, plus our friends in York and Sydney and Scotts Bluff. So get some grub, get some food, and half-price apps till 6, half-price apps after 9. Get the pretzel. You'll thank me. Okay, let's talk Nebraska-Illinois. Let's spend a minute on who is starting on the offensive line. Vogues just got this text to me, and you're going to have Decker at center. You're going to have Hymus at right tackle. That is good. Your O-line played well. You had a lot of power run, work well. It ain't broke. So keep it rolling that way if you're Nebraska. And let me tell you a little bit about the ills that concern Nebraska fan tonight. You've lost at Illinois 2 years ago. They played you tough last year. So are you going to just commit to physical football on the road? Vogues gave you a little bit of the weather report. And it's a bit breezy and windy there right now. And just take the danger out of the hands of your quarterback, who's been shaky, who can be really, really good. You've heard the expression, Jesus, take the wheel. Well, hand it off too, okay? That's where I'm at with this offense and the game plan and just asking your big guys to do their job up front. We'll see if it can happen. Good write-up by Brian Christopherson. I want to give BC the credit on this. But he has taken a look at every interception that Tanner Lee has thrown this season. 9. Ferris Bueller's day off. Ferris has been gone 9 times this quarter. 9 times. Well, listen, you have some interesting numbers here on Tanner. Not only the 9 interceptions, but the 39% completion percentage in the fourth quarter. He starts out at 62%. That from Brandon Vogel. Okay. Ask yourself this. What would your team, what would your betting record be with an extra 10 points a game? Good? Better? Making it rain? Well, Nebraska has given up 38 points this year off of turnovers. 38 is almost 40 in 4 games. You do the math. That's 10 right now on average a game. Yikes. Can't happen anymore. But with some of the interceptions, and it's been detailed, listen, Tanner has had some issues happen, I would say probably on 5 of the 9 interceptions, 5 of the 9. Some of them have been third down situations. Some of them have been third down in short situations. That's disconcerting when you look at 2 of the 9 interceptions. 2 of the 9 have been on 3rd or 2nd down and less than 4. That isn't a good thing. Clearly an option to chant it with me, run the football. Some of them have been on 3rd and long. So you've got this crazy concoction of forcing it. And when you're at a point in the game that is you're down 14 to Oregon or you're down 14 magically to Northern Illinois, sometimes you push it, sometimes you press it. So as a play caller, that isn't an easy spot or desired spot to be in. But right now at Nebraska, you're 2-2. And it is imperative for the health of this program to go get a win tonight and do so not eking by. This isn't me in 10th grade getting a D on my Spanish final. It's time to sell out and go get it. And it's going to be a fine line with what you do and call if you're Danny Langsdorf. I think you'll get going on offense. I think you'll run the football, but you're going to want to do the play action because it'll be there. It'll be there, and you want to get Tanner playing at a high level with what he is great at and what this offense is deadly with, and that's the play action. You get the play action going. I mean, you could be such a headache. And at some point, you got to just kind of turn him loose, right? But it's okay to turn him loose if you're up by 10 opposed to tied or trailing. You need a kind of a breakout for Tanner tonight moving forward because you got Wisconsin in a week and then you have Ohio State. And you need him to snap out of it if indeed he can snap out of it. I think that's what we'll learn tonight, won't we? We'll kind of figure out what Tanner Lee is. No, not that Illinois is end-all, be-all, or that awesome. but you're either going to be up and down, inconsistent, 52%, 1.5-to-1 interception touchdown ratio guy or not. Or you're going to be a guy that can go 20-of-27, 299, 2 touchdowns, and a 200-plus rushing performance by your O-line and I-backs. Huh? Go for about 500. That's the performance you really need to see. You saw a tight performance last week. It was okay. But really, that should have been a 20-to-21 spot. You're just that much better than the team in Rutgers. How much better are you than Illinois? Well, Vegas says this thing's going to be tight and close. And does Nebraska finally start throwing punches back against Illinois? Illinois dominated Nebraska the last 2 years physically, harming and maiming players, getting after the quarterback. Well, it's got to stop tonight. And we'll see what you get from Tanner Lee. Nebraska defensively, flip it around, force some turnovers. You have as much or more uncertainty at quarterback with the Illini. They just have two guys they don't want to put in. And they are playing. And really tonight, finally, is a statement moving forward for Nebraska, Mike Riley and Danny Langsdorf. In their guy, Tanner Lee. It's a statement about kind of getting things put together. You have 5 games now. What make that 4 games under your belt before Wisconsin gets here. Make it a 5th game to get to 3-2 for Wisconsin. Get there at a positive spot with Tanner Lee as quarterback, being able to do what you ask him and confident in doing so. We'll wind down from Applebee's here. 40th and Old Shady. Hail Varsity Radio continues.
He's in his 30s. But sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Thank you, Kramer. Get out of your way. Friday about to wind down here. Nebraska, Illinois about to be on the tubes here at Applebee's, 40th and Old Shady. Great bar set up. Husker volleyball on right now. Come see us. We're winding down the show, but spending some time here at Applebee's, 40th and Old Shady with Hail Varsity Radio. As big thanks to Clausburn and Greg Smith and Brandon Vogel, as well as our dear friend Bill Dolman, the Pride of Fairbury, on today's show. And Gerald Foster spent some time with us as he's getting ready for Nebraska, Illinois. Big-time opportunity for that O-line. Big-time opportunity for Tanner Lee to kind of shake the cobwebs and maybe be a new Tanner at quarterback with help from the offensive line. We'll see how it goes, and let's see how well this game plan's perfected and carried out without the element of overthinking, because you've had 5 days to slam it in since you're on a short week. Half-price apps after 9 tonight here at Applebee's. Beer specials here at Applebee's, and I don't know how fast you are, but happy hour, half-price apps roll to a close at 6, but come back alive at 9. So my brother on Twitter is reminding me that, yes, this is the first time I've shown my ability to be an awful driver near this location at Applebee's. They had just built this Applebee's. There had been some sod put down, and I did a little curb check, right? And I was just 16. My grandfather, who's now in his early 90s, still shakes his head, points, and laughs at me about it. But I was driving my parents' Jeep. He didn't rat me out to this day. They still don't know until now, obviously. So I'm driving along, and my Steve Miller Band CD falls down. I'm like, oh, expletive. I don't want it to scratch, right? Because I'm driving along. He's in the front seat. And I've never heard him use the Lord's name in vain that loudly or that often. But it happened, and it was my bad because I was more worried about my CD case. But it brings back a slew of memories, him turning and looking at me. And he's like, don't worry, I won't tell your mom and dad. And my answer is, well, what about, how do we explain, grass? How do we explain grass on a white Jeep? You guys been off-roading? So anyhow, 30 years later, we're gold. Good. Not quite 30, but you get my point. So this place is special to me. Come out. Applebee's here, 40th at Old Cheney. We want to see you. TV's on, ready for college football, ready for Nebraska and Illinois tonight. We'll be at another Applebee's here in October. And a reminder, if you can't get out tonight, Applebee's has the Thurston 10 football program, half-price apps all day Thursdays, Sundays, and Mondays for all your NFL needs. Big thanks to the Pride of Chicago in Danny Burke, engineering, producing back at our ESPN studios. A tip of the cap to you for a great weekend ahead. Enjoy Nebraska, Illinois tonight. And we'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. with the weekend edition of Hail Varsity. Mark Kranak, myself, for Danny Burke, Chris Schmidt. We'll talk to you again next time with Hail Varsity as we're here at Applebee's. Come see us, 40th and Old Cheney. And we'll see how Nebraska shakes out tonight against the Illini. Take care. Enjoy. Thanks.